Welcome to our study of Paul's second epistle to the Thessalonians. We finished yesterday's program by talking about the motivation that a Christian ought to have. And I pointed out that if the law is your motivation for good living, then perhaps you have a problem. I say that because when Paul wrote to Timothy in his first epistle, he told why the law was given. He writes in verse 8, "But we know that the law is good if one uses it lawfully," realizing the fact that the law is not made for a righteous man, but for those who are lawless and rebellious, for the ungodly and sinners, for the unholy and profane, for those who kill their fathers or mothers, for murderers and immoral men and homosexuals and kidnappers and liars and perjurers and whatever else is contrary to sound teaching. Well, we might say after reading that passage, if the shoe fits, put it on. If you are the kind of a person who is described here, then you not only need the law, but you need to be condemned by the law. That's what the law was given for, to show men their sins, to make sin more sinful. But keep in mind what Paul writes about the giving of the law in Galatians chapter 3. The law was given because of transgressions until the offspring should come to whom the promise had been made. God's plan was that His people in the Old Testament, that chosen family of the descendants of Abraham, were to live under that law code until Christ came. Now, the English language is clear, and so is the Greek language. Until means up until Christ came, but not after. Why do we need a law when Christ has given us a better law? Aren't we followers of Christ? I like to think that we either follow Moses and are motivated by his commandments, or we follow Jesus Christ and are motivated by his one new commandment, the commandment of love. We need to be reminded that becoming a Christian is not leaving the old laws of the Old Testament and taking on a new law. Becoming a believer in Jesus Christ results in getting the life of Christ. We have a new life, and the Holy Spirit is sent into the life of every believer, and your body has been made the temple of the Holy Spirit. Now that calls for a different kind of living. Now we move on from here to verse 3 of 2 Thessalonians chapter 1. Paul writes, "We are bound to give thanks to God always for you, brethren, as it is fitting, because your faith is growing abundantly, and the love of every one of you for one another is increasing. Therefore, we ourselves boast of you to the churches of God for your steadfastness and faith in all your persecutions and in the afflictions which you are enduring." Here in verse 3, Paul gives his reasons for giving thanks. And we see the two reasons, this matter of growing in faith and their increasing in love, are the very things that he was concerned about and expressed when he wrote to them in this first epistle. In chapter 3 of 1 Thessalonians, verse 10, he said, "We pray night and day most earnestly that we may see your face and may complete what is lacking in your faith." So he did understand that they had a deficiency in their faith. Now that's not criticism, because they were young Christians. You don't expect a new Christian to be strong in faith. They need to grow. But Paul's desire was, "I want to get back to those Thessalonian Christians so I can teach them and build them up in the faith." Well, it was a deficiency. But then in verse 12 of 1 Thessalonians chapter 3, he wrote this, And may the Lord cause you to increase and abound in love for one another and for all men, just as we also do for you. So here is his second concern. First, he wanted to build them up in the faith. Secondly, that their love might abound for one another, that's in the church, and for all men, that's outside of the church. And he said, just as much as I love you. So Paul had an objective there, and he must have been praying about those things. And now here in the second epistle that he writes to that church, he is able to say, we are bound to give thanks to God always for you, brethren, as it is fitting, because your faith is growing abundantly. And second, and the love of every one of you to one another is increasing. Now let's talk about that faith for a minute. This matter of faith is something we do need to grow in. Abraham, remember, was given a promise in his old age and in Sarah's old age that they would have a child, a miraculous child from God. I say miraculous because in order for them to have a child, God is going to have to annul the laws of nature. He's going to have to do something very special to enable Sarah to conceive and bring forth this son. And he did. God kept his word. But they had to wait quite a few years before that happened. Now, what happens to a person's faith if nothing happens following the promise? Well, for many people, their faith erodes and perhaps disappears. But Genesis chapter 15 tells us that Abraham responded in faith. He believed that God would do just exactly as he promised to do, and he waited and waited and waited, and it was about 25 years. Ishmael came along, and that was not acceptable to God. They had brought Ishmael into the world, but God said, you are going to have a son through Sarah, not through the servant girl Hagar. They wanted to help God to bring about and fulfill his promise. But God can keep his own promises. Now, when Abraham waited and waited, what happened to his faith? Well, Romans chapter 4 tells us that he became strong in faith, giving glory to God. And he believed that what God had promised, he was able also to perform. Now, apply that to the Christian today. We have been given promises of eternal life and the forgiveness of sins. We can accept that. But we have also been given promises about the return of Jesus Christ for us. And we've been given promises that someday, if we die before he returns, that we will be resurrected. Now, because those events may be far away, our faith may diminish. So we have to be growing in the faith and becoming stronger in the faith. Now, that's what Paul is dealing with here. Faith to believe that what God has written in his word will come to pass. And these Thessalonians, apparently, were growing in that kind of faith. They were growing abundantly, Paul writes. Now, he also thanks God because they were increasing in love. Now, that's so important. The church is best known by love. If we fail in love, then we are complete failures as Christians because we are failing to keep the one commandment, the one and only commandment which our Lord has given us, and which is to be the proof that we are his disciples. So I like to emphasize this, and I say it because for many, many years, I was a total failure in this regard. I loved myself, but I didn't love many other people. And that's why I say, if we fail in the new commandment, and let me repeat that from John chapter 13, a new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another as I have loved you. By this shall all men know that you are my disciples, if you have love one for another. Now that love was to be the kind of love that Christ showed to us. It was sacrificial, willing to lay down the life for another. And he said, that's the proof that we are his disciples. Now, if we fail in that, we are complete failures. There's no doubt about it. It's not 50% failure. It's total failure because there is no other command given to Christians. Now, that makes it serious. Now, how can you know whether people are increasing in love? What's the evidence in the life of a person that he has love? First of all, he would be doing something for other people. Doing for another's benefit indicates generosity of heart. That's what love is about. This word for love in the Greek means doing good for others at your expense. And if Christians have love, we'll see something else. There'll be a lot of peace in their midst instead of contention. That means we'll accept others as better than ourselves, and we won't be striving in order to get our own way. Peace comes with love. And another characteristic of love is the sincere desire of Christians to build up other Christians, to strengthen them in the faith so that they can glorify Jesus Christ. Now, apparently the Thessalonians were doing that. When Paul wrote his first epistle, he called attention to how noble these people were. He said, "We remember before our God and Father your work of faith and labor of love and steadfastness of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ." If they were laboring in love, they were doing good for others motivated by the love of Christ. That's beautiful. There's something else that's beautiful. It's a letter I recently received. I want to read it to our radio audience. It says, "May God's grace and peace be with you. The first opportunity that I had to hear you teach was in 1978, when I took the 9-week course, Understanding the New Testament. I must say that my knowledge of God's Word has been enhanced greatly as a result of those sessions. I have shared the tape sessions with many of my family and friends throughout the country. Because of my growth and study, I have been asked to serve as an adult Sunday school teacher at my church. As I try to prepare myself for that task, I realize how important that job is. Please send me a set of the Authority of the Bible tapes, memory cards, and a grace booklet. It is my prayer that God will continue to impart His wisdom and knowledge to you so that you might continue to assist us in understanding His Word." Well, we thank God for that kind letter. We would also like to hear from you. If you are enjoying this program, please tell a friend. Until tomorrow, this is Nick Kalavoda reminding you that the word gospel means good news.
Our address is Radio Bible Courses, Post Office Box 14916, Baton Rouge, Louisiana, 70898. The website is rbcword.org.